Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January the 15th. And it's actually a very pretty day here in Texas today. Just, I would say, a little colder than we usually like it, but it's actually a very, very nice day. Today, we're going to be chatting with our friend Alicia Colon, and we'll have her on in just a minute. You know, over the last couple of years, you've heard me say a couple of times here on the podcast, as well in some of the writings that I'm able to publish at American Thinker and over at Babalu and so on, that I've been very frustrated with these attacks on President Trump as a racist, because I've never really bought into that. I mean, look, I didn't support him in the primaries. There are times when I'm not crazy about what he does or what he tweets, but at the end of the day, I'm happy with what he's doing. But I've never bought into this racist, that he's a racist. Now everybody's calling him a racist. I mean, this young woman from the Bronx the other day was calling President Trump a racist. She doesn't even know him, and yet she's calling him a racist. So I think these attacks are completely unfair. And I've been thinking a lot about this, and out of the blue, I guess, comes this article at the American Thinker by our friend Alicia Colon. And I said, well, here is something I've been wanting to read for quite some time, and here's somebody I would like to talk to about this topic. So let's say hello to our friend Alicia Colon from New York. Oh, how are you, Alicia?
Hello, Silvia. How are you?
It's been a pleasure. It's a real treat to have you. We had you on a few years ago talking about immigration, and it's great to have you back. Well, tell us, what are you up to? You're obviously writing at American Thinker, that much I know.
Well, actually, I've never stopped writing. You know, I usually write for Jewish World Review and American Thinker. You know, most of the newspapers that I wrote for, you know, they all went belly up. So I'm online most of the time, but I've never given up. I've been writing for 20 years as an op-ed. But I'm a New Yorker. I was born in Manhattan, raised in Spanish Harlem. I'm Hispanic, you know, so I know quite a bit about what's happening here with our president. Yes. So
that's right.
I'm glad you like the column.
I did. And as I said, it really was like something I had been hoping that somebody would write, because I have friends in New York who tell me the same things you're saying in the column. And finally, here was a column that we could talk about. Well, let's do this. Why don't we begin with President Trump himself, or at least the candidate, and then we'll talk about your article. But as you heard me say in the introduction, I was not a Trump supporter during the primaries. I voted for him because the alternative was Hillary Clinton, not exactly.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's a terrible alternative.
I would say that.
But nevertheless, I've been pretty happy with his work. So go ahead, please. Tell me about President Trump.
No, I was going to say most of the deplorables never really had him as our first choice. My first choice was Rick Perry. So but I'll tell you what turned me on to him. My brother at the time was suffering from late stage cancer, colon cancer. And he would call me and so enthusiastic about Trump and saying, he's saying exactly what I think. He's, you know. So I started listening because, as I said, he wasn't my first choice. So, and also my husband was saying, you know, he's talking real stuff, you know. So then I started, as I said, my first choice was Rick Perry. And, of course, he dropped out, you know. So I ended up, of course, voting for him. And I'm so glad. During the night of the election, I remember when I first looked at the returns, Hillary was ahead. And I went in and said a rosary because I knew how important it was.
That's right.
That she's lost, you know.
Well, the
and
rosary
I'm sure
worked.
A lot of people did. It did. It definitely did. And I thought a lot of people were praying for it, you know. So, but
well, it's interesting with me. Yeah, well, how it happened with me, if I just want to just get this quick story in, how it happened with me that night is that I was invited to the Telemundo channel here in Dallas to do, you know, to do analysis on the election. So I drive out there like about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And when I got there, I was in like the green room that they have there, and I was watching the returns. And it just, you know, it seemed like this was not going the way it had been predicted, you know. And the first key for me was Virginia, how close Virginia was. And I said, this is strange. There's something happening here, but it's too early to get excited. And then by 10 o'clock, I kind of knew that it was over. It was only a matter of time. So because by that time, the states that she was supposed to win were not, we're just too close to call, or we're not going her way. And I said, we're watching something incredible tonight. So anyway, by 10:30, 11 o'clock, it wasn't official, but he was ahead. Anyway, I just wanted to throw my little story in. So how did you feel? Did you actually stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning like all of us
did? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, of course. You know, I had my prayers in. And it was just so much fun to watch the networks and the cable people and their faces. Like it
they
the
were
end
very
of the world.
Well, it was, but I think it's because they, you know, they got so invested in the outcome. I mean, they, when you are that sure that something's going to happen and it doesn't happen.
You know, with people who were ready to support him, we really took a lot of insults. My friends that I knew, who were my best friends, would be talking on the phone, and they more or less said that Trump supporters were morons. And to me, and my family too, because my brother and I were the only Republicans. My other, you know, sisters and all are all Democrats, the diehards. But to me, in the back of my mind, I was saying anybody who would ever want the Clintons back in the White House.
Right.
Well, they're the ones that have lost.
Right.
How could you not know enough of the past?
Right.
You know, these are the most unsavory characters ever that you don't ever want in the Rose Room again.
That's right.
So it was never, I could understand people saying, well, I'll vote for the Green candidate or something, but to say that Hillary, you know, it was ludicrous.
Well, and as a woman, you may understand what I'm saying, but I don't have a daughter. I have a wife, and I have a mother, and I have a sister. But to me, Hillary Clinton was such a bad example of a woman.
Yes.
I mean, these people who praise her as a feminist, you know, and what a great example of a woman she is. I would never want a daughter to be like Hillary Clinton. And I'm not talking ideology.
Look,
I'm talking
the
about
the fact of the matter is
her
Hillary
personality.
Has never done. Now, she has never done anything on her own. You know, everything that she has done on her own has been a colossal flop. If she wasn't married to Bill Clinton, you know, she would have disappeared in the dust. And
well,
I'm sorry, the people
never...
that the people who, you know, wanted her gender, and that was it. And the whole idea that you just vote for someone because it's a woman, come on. Condoleezza Rice, I would consider voting, you know, because she had the resume, for God's sakes. But everything that Clinton, you know, Hillary had was corrupt, you know.
That's right. And you know, talking about women, I was a huge fan, as many of us are, of Margaret Thatcher. And there's a lady with leadership skills and a very capable lady. And
I
all
saw
this
her
gender
in,
stuff.
Washington, and I was saying, the
I mean,
Iron
all,
Lady.
Sure,
I vote
all this
for an
gender
Iron
stuff.
Lady. We don't have
sure. Exactly, and all this gender stuff, just, you know, all this stuff about, well, you know, we it's 44 men, therefore we must have a woman. Well, no, I don't look at it that way. I don't vote for people because they're women or because they're – I mean, you can show me – look, bring me a Cuban candidate, and I don't vote for him because he's Cuban. I mean, I say, you know, as you probably remember, I was born in Cuba, and I don't – you know, I don't vote for people because they're Cuban. There's Cuban Democrats I wouldn't vote for.
Exactly.
But now, let's look at your article, because, as I say, your article was like, for me, such a nice thing to read, because here I was looking for someone to write what you wrote, and there you wrote it. So I was so pleased. Why did you write the article? And just develop the article for us, please.
Well, in the beginning, as I said, I started out after listening to this moron call him, that crazy person in the store. I saw a video of him calling him a racist and F this and F that. And I'm saying, wait, you don't even know what a racist is. You know, and it's certainly not Donald Trump. My husband worked for Donald Trump when he was a bell captain for the Grand Hyatt. And so for 12 years he worked with him. If you go to the Grand Hyatt, I mean, if he was a racist, would so many of the employees be minorities in all different positions? No. You know, he was never. In fact, this is a thing that I have to explain about what I had written, because I had said that my husband was raised in the Deep South and knows what a racist looks like and acts like when it is now president. So some of the people commented that, there's racism all over the world and the South is not like that. But my husband grew up in the segregated South of the 50s when blacks were always called the N-word. And that was what racism really was. So he knew exactly what, racism actually is. And he never saw that with Donald Trump. In fact, he would say he was absolutely colorblind, because color meant nothing to him. And there were people in very executive positions and foreigners and immigrants. And, he has never, ever said anything about immigrants. It's the illegals, the ones who are breaking the law, that he has, complained about. And this is what has made all of these liberals go ballistic and calling him, a racist. But he has always had a reputation of being very helpful to the community. And even in 1998, Jesse Jackson praised him because he was instrumental in helping the Rainbow Coalition get into Wall Street. So he's always been very generous to that community. And yet here he is being bombarded by people who have no idea what it is. And in the same token, how could you call him a Nazi? I mean,
that's right.
The idea that his daughter converted to Judaism, he has Jewish grandchildren. I mean, he's been a friend of the Israel. In fact, he's been called the greatest friend of Israel. Mm-hmm. It is very, very unfair. But I'll tell you about something I'm concerned about. I don't know where he gets his energy from. So I do have him in my prayers because, I don't know how he can, but I love the guy. When he got out of that Paris Accord, I was yes. So much of the things yes.
That's right. No, I know exactly what you mean. And you're exactly right about his level of energy, because he is, after all, I think, a man in his 70s. And, the energy level that he has is unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, he is keeping a pace that, he's actually been blessed with wonderful health. I mean, that's all I can say.
Well, he doesn't have any bad habits, like he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, That all helps,
That helps a lot.
Yeah, I know.
But I will say one thing.
Pray for him.
I will say one thing, Alicia, that I've always been very angry when people immediately run to the racism accusation, and this thing, the Nazi accusation, that is just historical ignorance on the part of people to call somebody. I mean, that's just ignorance. If they understood what a Nazi was, they would understand that Trump is not. But the racism thing is something that has always bothered me, because it's become a convenient excuse to disagree with people.
Tool.
I disagree with you, therefore,
it's
because you're a racist.
This is their mantra. This is their talking points. This is, the Olinsky, Saul Alinsky. This is what they do. They do it over and over, and they hope it sticks, you know. And the level of ignorance in the electorate today, especially among the millennials, is so, you know, gross. They're just, what's coming out of the colleges today is pure Marxism.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure that all my kids went to private school.
Well, look at this young woman there from your neighborhood in New York. I think the Bronx is where she lives, but she represents.
Oh,
I mean, she's a moron. She's a disgrace. I mean, how can that young woman? I can understand why she got elected, because it's a unique situation in that district. But she continues to make a total fool out of herself every time she talks.
Well, the thing is, but I blame the Republican, the New York Republican Party.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's completely, you know, abdicated any responsibility. They don't put up good candidates. The percentage of voters that actually go out and vote is very small, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up with a de Blasio and the whole Democratic, you know. And I'm saying, what hope do we have? The only hope that we have is I have no idea.
Giuliani.
An anomaly, you know. We don't have that many anymore. You know, there is a little bit of a hope that maybe the Trump start running, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eric and those people, even though there's still, I think, registered Democrats, maybe, you know, they'll kind of change.
Well, it would be nice to, you know, if they don't have Republicans, at least it would be nice to have some Democrats who make sense.
To make sense, yes.
Yeah, because what you now have coming out of New York, I mean, this mayor de Blasio
is a
disaster. The governor Cuomo is not much better. So it just seems to me that if you're not going to get Republicans, I agree with you, the Republicans have not done a good job there. But let's get some decent Democrats who understand.
But, you know, I kept getting these calls, give me money for the RNC and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm not going to until you start supporting the Republican candidates that are worthwhile. You know, I would give, like, there was a man, Molinaro, who was running for governor. I gave whatever I could for him because, you know, with Andrew Cuomo,
mm-hmm.
one of the most corrupt people running in politics, and yet, you know, who cares?
Going back to your article for a second, is there a story or something in your article, for those who maybe, we have a link to it on the show information, hopefully some people will read it after they hear the podcast, but is there a story that maybe you want to share about the article, maybe an anecdote or something that your husband related to you about Donald Trump that you thought might be worthwhile to share with the audience?
Well, as I said, you know, he worked with him. He was a bell captain for 12 years. And he completely transformed the area on 42nd Street and Lexington Avenue. Was on a decline, and stores were closing, everything was closing up. He completely transformed that entire area and made it boom. And he also, of course, you know, everybody knows about the Walman Memorial Skating Rink. They were trying in Central Park. The city had spent 6 years and millions of dollars to get it working. He took it over, and in six months, it was perfectly fine and open, and that's what's there. That's what he could do. I mean, he's a billionaire because he knows who to contact, who to work with. He makes the deals, and he's doing it around the country. You know, around the world, he's making deals. It turned out, you know, as I said, I wasn't pro-Trump in the primary or anything, but I certainly am now. And I've come to appreciate what he's done is really brilliant, you know, just about everything he does, you know. And and he's really got the media gone crazy. They are so
right, and
moronic.
And it is. And then you have this article that appeared in the New York Times over the weekend about the Russia connection. You know, an article that you see the headline and you go, wow. And then you read the article and you go, wait a minute. I thought this was about Trump being an agent. I mean, there's some bad reporting going on. It's not just bad reporting, Alicia.
I have a website, aliciacolon.com.
Sure.
That has an archive of all the columns that I've written for the last several years. And I had written about how to tell, you know, the truth in the media. And there are certain things that you know automatically not to trust, and that's the New York Times, the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, let me see, Chicago Tribune, Miami Herald, and then, of course, Politico. Those are, you can look it up. I forget what the name of the column that I wrote, but it tells you where to find the truth. And it's out there. It's not, I mean, Fox is still probably, well, it's not perfect if they would get rid of, you know, a couple of people.
No, but they do a decent job. At least
but
you
they
get
do.
Some balance.
They do have, yes, they do. I think they try to be balanced, which you do not get on any of CNN or anything, you know, just ignore them. And so whenever I see a column come up with, you know, I'm saying, the New York Times, Daily Beast, forget it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's pretty much the way I reacted to it. When I heard about it on the weekend, I said, no, this is too good to be true. I need to read it. And then you read the column, and down in the eighth or ninth paragraph, they basically say, that he's not, you know, he's not, that he's not good.
Well,
and I'm sitting there saying, but why did you, you know, why did you write that article?
Because you know why? Because people just read headlines.
That's true.
They don't read the whole thing. This is how they work.
And the truth, is that, you know, headlines, newspapers have always used the headline as a teaser. So, I mean, that's the way it has always been. But at least there has to be substance in the article let me ask you one last question here, as we're running out of time, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Of course, the big news now is the shutdown between, of course, President Trump and the Republicans
and the Democrats, I guess. Did you happen to see on Daily Caller the anonymous piece by a senior White House?
I heard about it,
Worker?
That he's hoping that it goes
and
a long time to smoke out the resistance.
Yeah, right, exactly. And let's face it, we have such a bloated government. Mm-hmm. You know, there's agencies that are duplicated, redundant. You know, really, if they're non-essential, then they should be gone. You know, and that's where if it helps clean up, you know, the government, then and trim it, then it's really not that bad. And then you have all of these Democrats that don't really care, and they're in Puerto Rico. You know,
that was great. Yeah,
did you see that picture with Menendez?
Yeah, I know that was too much. That was too much, Menendez in Puerto Rico.
That was too much. A girl in a bikini. He's probably saying, "How old are you?"
Right. Exactly. No, I know. I know. That was quite a picture. Well, Alicia, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and I hope we do it again.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Anytime.
And I'm sorry that it took a few years, but I'll make sure that it doesn't take that long again to have you back.
I don't know how many years I have left.
Okay. Well, hopefully many.
But thanks
hopefully
for having
many,
me
so.
On.
Thank you so much. And by the
welcome.
Way, I was going to ask you a quick question before you go. Mel Stottlemyre of the Yankees passed away here in the last 24 hours. Were you a Yankee fan?
Oh, no, really? Oh,
yeah.
God, are you kidding? I remember Mel Stottlemyre hit a grand slam.
Okay.
And
You're the first person from New York that I've spoken to since hearing that story. And Sottlmeyer was a real favorite of mine. So yeah, he died of cancer. He was in his 70s, I think.
I think his son is also in baseball.
Yeah, he was. His son was a pitcher for a while. He's out of baseball now, but you're right. His son was also a pitcher as well.
Dear.
Yeah.
All right.
The old Mel Stottlemyre. I used to love him pitch a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Alicia, thank you for your time.
I'm a Yankee fan from way back.
That's right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Cyril. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, our friend Alicia Colon, it's been a while since we chatted with her, but I'm going to make sure that we chat with her more often. She's a wonderful, absolutely wonderful person to chat with and to get caught up in politics. We have a link to her article, and we also have a link to her website, so please make a note of that. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you again. Bye-bye, everybody.